lives are encompassed in the mercy of God because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd who gave his life, John 10 and verse 11.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The whole of our life ought to become an expression and a proclamation of the fact that we are merciful. And if I can do so very quickly, I'd like to share with you three facets of mercy with which we must deal in order to properly understand this beatitude. First, we want to look at the properties of mercy. First, the properties of mercy. And then, very quickly, I want to show you the practice of mercy in the New Testament narrative. And we'll look at two examples. And then, for a moment, we'll touch on the prospect of mercy. Now, first, let's look at the properties of mercy. What are we talking about when we talk about mercy? We have to be very careful in precisely defining this concept. First, we want to discuss what it is not. To be merciful does not mean to be easygoing. Many people think that mercy means to smile at transgression or lawbreaking. That is not the essence of mercy. Well, then what is it? What is mercy? I would say, in terms of defining mercy, that first of all, mercy is the outgoing love of God reflected and reproduced in the Christian. It's the kind of thing that fully identifies with people who have needs, in a sense, gets right inside of their skin, and then does what is essential and what is necessary to deliver them. Blessed is that kind of a man. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, if I were to delineate the factors that are involved in the expression of mercy, I would list for you five. These five factors always occur whenever biblical mercy is expressed. The first is pain. Somebody hurts. The second factor in the expression of biblical mercy is power. You cannot show mercy unless you have the power, either to hurt or to help. Pain and power is followed by passion. You see, you have power to hurt and you have power to help, and it's passion or compassion or love which motivates you to help instead of hurt. And then this passion is followed by something very practical. Let's call it participation. Love can never be sterile. Love can never be static. And then there's one final step in the expression of mercy, and that's prosperity. Whenever we do this, whenever we exercise mercy on this biblical basis, whenever we do this, everybody involved prospers. Now look in Luke 10, and I'll give you an outline. We're talking now about the practice of mercy, and there are two examples. The Good Samaritan who risked his life. Do you notice in Luke 10 and verse 30 that first of all there is pain? A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. There was pain. Then secondly, there was power. There were three men who came along who had power. And as you look at it, you see first that there's power abused, and then there's power that is used in the proper way. There's a third ingredient here. Passion. Do you notice verse 33? A certain Samaritan came by, and the Bible says he went up to that man, and he saw him, and he saw, and he really saw, he had compassion on him. Here was a Samaritan, very likely helping a Jew. Samaritans do not help Jews. They have a contempt for one another. But mercy has a way of eclipsing all prejudices and meeting needs wherever it finds them. Doesn't matter who it is. There was pain. There was power, abused and used. There was passion. He had compassion. And then there was participation. True love always motivates a man to do something. And such participation always involves for us a cost. Perhaps that's why more Christians do not engage in it. It's costly to be involved in this merciful way. You say, well, Pastor, what did it cost the Samaritan to show mercy? I would say it cost him five things. One, it cost him his safety. When he came where he was, verse 33, and when he went up to him, verse 34, in that moment he made himself vulnerable to those thugs, to those thieves. I wonder how many of us are willing to become unsafe, to leave the protective environs of our church or the cloistered Christian community in order to minister to those who have needs, to be rubbed into the secular society like salt is rubbed into the meat, meeting the needs. It cost him his safety. The second thing it cost him was his schedule. The Bible says he brought him to an inn, he took care of him, and on the morrow, the next day, he departed. That was a major interruption of his schedule. You know why some of us are perhaps are not merciful? We just can't schedule it in. We just don't have time for this kind of involvement. I mean, we're busy men, you know, we're executives or engineers or we're working on the assembly line or we've got a 40-hour a week job or a 50-hour a week job and we've got our families and we've got our games and we've got our toys and these are all very important to us and we've invested a lot of money and time in these things and we just don't have time to schedule these incidentals in. It's a sad thing. Oh, the bliss of the merciful and oh, the trauma of the merciless. It cost him his schedule. The third thing it cost him was his supplies. The Bible says that he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. The wine was an antiseptic. It purified and cleansed the wound. The oil was an anesthetic. It relieved the pain. It pacified. The wine purified. The oil pacified. One was an antiseptic. The other was the anesthetic. Cost him his supplies. And then the Bible says it cost him his substance. Do you notice the scripture says he took out 2 pence? You say, well, what's that? He took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and whatsoever more, he says, I will repay thee when I come again. I'll assume more obligations. Cost him his substance, his money. What's 2 pence? I'll tell you what 2 pence is. In the ancient world, 2 pence is 2 days' wages. 1/3 of a week's wages. That's what it cost him. And then it cost him, finally, his solace, his comfort. The Bible says he set him on his own beast and he brought him to an inn. In other words, he walked and the other man rode. It cost him his comfort, his convenience. He gladly forfeited personal comfort or solace to meet the needs of someone else. Now, you and I have to ask ourselves this very pointed question. When was the last time it cost me something to show mercy? When was the last time it cost me something to show love? Maybe it cost me my safety. Maybe it cost me my schedule. I had to rearrange my schedule. Maybe it cost me my supplies or my substance or my solace or my comfort or my convenience. Maybe it cost me something to be a servant of God, to identify with somebody in need and lift them out of that circumstance of need. That's where the blessings are. Oh, the bliss of the merciful. I wish I had time to look at Jesus. Jesus is the second great example. The good Samaritan only risked his life. Jesus Christ gave his life. You know, one day Jesus Christ looked down into Doug McLaughlin's life and he saw that I was a man who was in pain. For all that superficial facade of fun and gaiety that characterized me as a 16-year-old boy, my life was empty and Jesus knew it. He saw me in my pain. He saw me helpless, without strength, Romans 5, 6. He saw me haunted, fearing death, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. He saw me hopeless, Ephesians 2 and verse 12, having no hope. A man can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without oxygen, not 1 second without hope. He saw me without hope. He saw me hollow, walking in the vanity of my mind, a shell. He saw me hungry. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Isaiah 55 and verse 2. He saw me in pain. He sees his lost sheep in pain. He has power to help. You know, Jesus had power in the circumstances of the crucifixion. He was not victimized. His life was not taken from him. He gave it. He said that. No man taketh my life from me. John 10, 17 and 18. I give it. He had power. to hurt or to help. And he helped because he had passion. He saw the multitudes as sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion upon them. He engaged in participation. He was born. He got inside of our skin. He lived out his life. He died. He was resurrected. Participation. And you and I are prospering because of it. Our lives are encompassed in the mercy of God because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who gave his life, John 10 and verse 11. I look back and I can say, surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. I look ahead and I can say, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, Jude 21. I look around me and I can say, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Christian prospers because of the mercy of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says this, oh, the bliss of the man who gets right inside of others until he can see with their eyes, think with their thoughts, and feel with their feelings, and thus meet their needs. For he who has this kind of outgoing love will glorify God, integrate others, and edify himself by reaping what he sows. Mercy for mercy. Have you received the mercy of God? Have you received the mercy of God? Do you see that he is a God rich in mercy? Do you understand that he sees your pain? He knows that without him you are helpless, without strength. You're haunted, fearing death. You're hopeless, without hope. You're hollow, vanity, and empty. You're hungry. And in Christ Jesus, or our Lord, has made a merciful provision by which you can be prospered. Have you received the mercy of God? Will you recognize your desperate need and by faith receive that merciful provision by receiving Christ? You say, Pastor, I've already done that. I've already been the recipient of God's mercy. Then let me ask you this question. When was the last time you extended that mercy? You see what it is. It's the outgoing love of God alleviating the pain and the suffering of the undeserving. You see that it costs to be involved in exercising mercy, like the good Samaritan who risked his life and the good shepherd who gave his life. Are you willing to make that investment to receive the returns? Participation always produces prosperity. Can you remember the last time it cost you to show mercy and love? Is there someone toward whom you have failed to show mercy? Someone you have in your power now, and you have decided to be legal instead of merciful? Is there someone in your world of influence toward whom you can individually and actually express Christian compassion, love, and mercy? Is God calling you to do that?
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The problems that have infected humanity, that have despoiled humanity, are traceable to some lurking pollutant in the heart.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.